We hear John the Baptist out in the area of Bethany across from the Jordan. Basically, if you go to modern-day Jericho, it's in that area across the Jordan River, basically in that area, where John was baptizing. And people, again, they're coming out to see him, and we hear that they're wondering, well, why are you baptizing? And Jesus basically says, well, I am just baptizing you with water, but there's one who's coming after me that'll baptize with the Holy Spirit. And so really important for us to really understand, you know, John, of course, is the precursor to Christ. And if you read John's gospel, we read part of the very first part of John's gospel, then we skipped. So I want to read the entire beginning of John's gospel. This used to be read when we were doing the 1962 Mass, or the Mass before Vatican II and the Novus Ordo. This first part of the gospel we read at the end of every Mass, underscoring its importance. And I just want to read this because what we heard, the first part of what we heard in today's gospel is buried in this. Okay, so I'm just going to read this. I don't have it memorized. So, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came to be through him, and without him, nothing came to be. What came to be through him was life, and this life was the light of the human race. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. A man named John was sent from God. He came for testimony, to testify to the light, so that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to testify to the light. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world came to be through him. But the world did not know him. He came to what was his own, but his own people did not accept him. But to those who did accept him, he gave power to become children of God. To those who believe in his name, who were born not by natural generation, nor by human choice, nor by a man's decision, but of God. And the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. And we saw his glory, the glory as of the Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. So it's kind of really pretty deep, really packed. And so it acknowledges that the Word of God is Jesus. This is the thing about God. You know, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And Jesus is the Word. Jesus reveals who God is. He is the image of the invisible God, as St. Paul had said in one of his letters. So Jesus is God, the Word. So he reveals God to us. And it's interesting, it said that everything was created by Jesus through him. Everything. You know, this is one of the things, you know, about today, you know, this, the theory of evolution. You know, it's just like, that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says that everything God created. And of course, that's to get God out of the picture in the creation, that's a huge, huge mistake. Yeah, that's what the devil wants, to get God out of the picture. So it says that God created everything. So that's really important for us to be mindful about. And then the pinnacle of creation, if you read the Genesis account, which the Genesis account, you know, creation is from God. Adam wasn't created until the sixth day, right? So God created everything. And the pinnacle of that creation is man, the human race, as we hear in this reading from John. So the pinnacle is the human race. And why? I mean, that makes a lot of sense. If God is going to become man, take on that human nature, he's got a divine nature and human in both. You know, he's both divine and human. If he's going to take that on, that's huge. And Jesus, if you read that carefully, what we just went through is, Jesus is the light. He enlightens everybody. You know, this is what, you know, we come to Mass, we receive the Eucharist, we're strengthened, we're nourished, we're called to be lights to the world, we're called to be other Christs shining for the world to see. So really important for us to be mindful about that. And then it said that his own people rejected him, but those who believe and follow the Lord can become children of God. Children of God. And it's not we who choose it, it's actually God. God chooses it? Well, remember, God is outside time. God knows exactly who's going to choose him, who's going to accept his grace. He knows it. He knows every single person who's going to say yes to his grace, to say, yes, I believe, and open up to grace and then live that out. Because God's grace is efficacious, what's called efficacious. He only gives it if the person's going to receive it. So God is outside time, but it's amazing. Yeah, it's like some people say, well, Mary really didn't have a choice when she was approached by the angel Gabriel. Oh, yeah, she sure did. God already knew what her choice was going to be. But she still had a choice. God knows every single choice that we're going to make. But we still have the choice. We still have free will. We still choose it, right? But God knows exactly what we're going to choose. So, pretty amazing. I mean, God is amazing. Anyway, so this entry is just really important for us, really, to be mindful about. You know, it's just like God became man, became flesh. So then we continue, and it's then John who actually is testifying to this. As we hear in the gospel, we heard today about John testifying out in the desert. Now just be mindful. John the evangelist, who wrote the gospel, also was in a certain sense testifying to Christ. He kind of wrote about Jesus in his gospel. But John is out in the desert testifying to Jesus, giving testimony. And of course, the leaders are coming out there and asking, well, why are you baptizing? You know, and are you really this, you know, are you the prophet? Are you the Christ, the Messiah, or Elijah, or the prophet, Isaiah? And John says, no, I'm not any of those. I have come to baptize and to prepare for the one who is coming after me, whose sandal strap I am not able to untie. Okay, so this incident with John the Baptist, if you put the Gospels together, it seems like this is happening after Jesus actually has been baptized. And it has to have happened, because I'll go into that just in a little bit. But it happens after Jesus was baptized. And even after Jesus was out in the desert for 40 days being tempted. This gospel happens after that. So just think, Jesus has already been baptized by John, and he already been tempted out in the desert and tempted by Satan. Jesus had been, okay? So if you continue to read John's gospel, it says, the next day, Jesus was coming toward John the Baptist. And John the Baptist says, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. John the Baptist points to Jesus, who's the Lamb of God. When we're going through Mass, just be mindful about, you know, we say that. I say it, actually. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Blessed are those called to the supper of the Lamb. And all of us respond, Lord, I am not worthy you should enter under my roof. But only say the words, and my soul shall be healed. So John is testifying to the fact that Jesus is walking. That's the Lamb of God right there. That is the one of whom I spoke. I'm unworthy to untie his sandal straps. He existed before me, John says. In other words, John knows that, I mean, remember, John the Baptist, on a human level, is born before Jesus. Remember when Mary was, Gabriel came to Mary and said, God wants you to be my mother, basically. And the angel told her that your Elizabeth, your cousin, has already been pregnant for 6 months. So John the Baptist was conceived before Jesus. But John the Baptist says, Jesus existed before I did. That means that Jesus is God. He's God. And John then continues, he existed before me. And then John says, the reason I came baptizing was is that I want Israel to come to know him. I want you to know that Jesus is God. That's why I'm baptizing. And then John continues, basically, John the Baptist basically says, I did not know him. I did not know the Messiah or Jesus. But when the Holy Spirit, I was told that when the Holy Spirit comes down upon an individual and remains with that individual, that is the one. That is the Messiah, basically. So that's what John had happened to John. When John was baptizing Jesus, the Holy Spirit did come down upon Jesus. Remember that? The Holy Spirit in the form of a dove came down on Jesus. And God the Father says, this is my beloved Son. So John the Baptist is acknowledging Jesus. And this is what he wants. He wants the Jewish people to believe. So we, like John the Baptist, as people who believe, are called to testify to Christ. This is one of the things, you know, we're called to in our lives, to be witnesses of Jesus. And so it can be, you know, obviously sharing our faith, talking about our faith, talking about the Lord. You know, one of the things, it's like we come to Mass. It's like it really is Jesus. He left us the Eucharist to help us, to sustain us. Go to confession, you know, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. That's one of the main reasons Jesus came for. If he did that, we better go. We better ask for forgiveness of our sins. This is God. And then, you know, we have in the church, it's like we have a belief problem. It's like a lot of Catholics don't even believe that Jesus is really present in the Eucharist. It's like, well, he is. But how do we, as Catholics, really show that, really exemplify that, our belief in the true presence of the Lord in the Eucharist? You know, that's certainly one of the reasons why we come to Mass and every week. But also we're reverent. You know, we just show our reverence and acknowledging the God that really is present in that, in the Eucharist. So how are we giving testimony to the Lord in our life? Something for us really to look at, ask, you know, as we continue Advent. Lord, help me to testify to you, the light, the truth.